We present Black Cinderella 2 Goes East, a pantomime loosely based on the grim fairy story Confessions of a Glass Slipper Trier Honor, and adapted for radio by cutting out all the good bits and throwing them away.
Cinderella, Cinderella, Cinderella.
Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, in a kingdom far, far away, so long ago that no one can remember when, so far away that no one can remember where, something happened, but no one can remember what, which is why history is always so terribly dull. Meanwhile, in fairy story land... Excuse me. Hello, yes?
Hello?
Yes, who are you?
Fairy Godperson's prologue for you. Ready?
Well, not yet. I haven't quite finished with my introduction.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got a message from my secretary saying you needed a fairy godperson's prologue. Obviously, a cock-up somewhere. Sorry to bother you. Bye.
No, hey, wait a minute. I am...
I've got a minute. Sorry. Bye.
Look here. Are you really Cinderella's fairy godfather?
Look, do I sound like the sort of waller who would lay idle claim to spurious fairy godpersonhood if I wasn't forced to by the facts? I'm sorry. I'm a very busy man. I mean, obviously, in an ideal world, I'd like to be able to spend several hours a day phoning people up and claiming to be Perkin Warbeck's magic newt. But there isn't a time.
Perkin Warbeck's magic newt?
Yes, or a bowl of enchanted ants' eggs or an elfin bleeding rhinoceros.
Well, it completely upsets the structure of everything, but well, all right.
Fine, here it is. I'm Cinderella's fairy godperson. I'm here to help her on, etc., 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 and something, something, flan.
Flan?
Rhymes with on. It's verse, you see.
Oh, is that it?
What do you expect? Blood? It's only a voiceover, you know. Bye.
Poor Cinderella. Ever since her father, Baron Obbeef, married for the second time, her wicked stepmother and ugly stepsisters made her a slave. But unfortunately, he had to leave. And so now she has to do all the housework herself. Here she is, sobbing all alone in her father's kitchen.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Why does nobody like me? Why am I left at home to do all the work? There's so much to do. Darn the socks, stuff the turkey, and bugger the ironing. If only my daddy wasn't so poor. He made his money the hard way. He was a dodo exterminator. Then he went into industry. He worked his way up from the shop floor, and after 3 years, he was hanging from the light fittings. Then one day, tragedy struck. When Mummy died and Daddy remarried, I knew it was a mistake. I knew Daddy was in for bad luck the moment he smashed a mirror, tripping over a black cat, slid under a ladder, landed on an albatross, and was cursed by the flying hog of Armageddon. My wicked stepmother didn't really love him. It was his fat wallet she was after. I knew that the instant the vicar said, "Do you, wicked stepmother, take this fat wallet to be your lawful wedded husband?" Within a very short time, she had spent all the money. And now I spend my time all alone. Thank goodness I've at least got Buttons, my trusty bellboy friend. Thank goodness I've still got him.
Well, it's a pity we had to get rid of Buttons.
Father, stepmother, you're back. What did you say about Buttons? You can't have got rid of him.
Times are hard. We all have to make sacrifices.
You mean... you sacked him?
No, we burnt him as an offering to the gods. Anyway, don't you worry about that. You get on with sweeping the cinders.
Oh, leave the poor girl alone. She shouldn't have to do all the housework. We should get her home help.
Don't be stupid. We can't possibly afford it. It's all your fault. We've lost money.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is. I think you'd better sing your song again.
I'm not going to.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are. It's in your contract.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, all right. I once was a very rich baron, enjoying the gifts the life gave, exploiting the servant, the villain, oppressing the varlet, refusing to pay the king's taxes. My life could have been a lot worse. So why, silly me, did I ever agree to be keeper of the royal purse? Oh, predecessor in the job was known to be a racketeer. So when he died intestate, I thought I could make a pioneer. The other barons all stood down and willingly deferred to me, to wonder why they didn't want the job did not occur to me. I simply thought the handy thing about this kind of work is it's quite sure to get me tips and bribes, emoluments and purposes. I'll rake in royal taxes and I'll craftily make stacks myself, till suddenly it dawned on me I'd also have to tax myself. At first I sent my little back mark, sorry, not at this address. But when you know your own address, it's difficult to misaddress. I falsified my tax return, I tried a bit of lying. It was not a good thing because I found out I was trying it. I got so sick of my attempts to diddle, rook and cheat myself. I rang for an appointment and I went along to meet myself. As minister I knew that as a baron I was doing me. I told myself to watch it or I might consider suing me. I put it to me man to man, as head of the bureaucracy, to naughty tax evader, you're a threat to true democracy. I told myself a lot of things as Minister for Revenue, which as a private citizen, I swear to you, I never knew. I talked myself to sleep, but I still have a lot more yet to say. I woke me up and lectured me for hours, and I regret to say that though I never have been quick to pick up moral hints myself, I put it so persuasively, I managed to convince myself. Since that day when my better self triumphed, I've been getting worse off all the time. What a blow for the feudal system. Struck down by honesty, yes, in me crime. For I pay myself just by commission, no weekly wage packet for me, and I cannot avoid knowing I'm self-employed. I've been hoist by my own Schedule D.
As it may. Where are my two beautiful daughters?
You mean my ugly sisters?
How dare you call them that?
Oh, I'm sorry, my ugly stepsisters.
That's better.
Oh, here they come now.
You may. It's time for me to come on now. Yeah?
Well, who are you?
I'm the pantomime Bill Oddy. Where's Buttons?
His services have been terminated.
Oh, don't be so ridiculous. You can't have Cinderella without Buttons. If there's no Buttons, who's going to come on and say, "Hello, everybody!" and get the audience to shout back, "Hello, Buttons!"
Look, Oddy, why don't you just go away and leave us alone? You're not on yet.
I want to play Buttons.
Well, you can't. He's been burnt.
Burnt? You can't burn Buttons?
Go away.
Can I play something?
Go away!
No, come on, please. Just let me try coming on and saying, "Hello, everybody."
Hello, everybody!
Go away!
Serve you right for trying to be lovable.
I wish you'd try and be lovable sometimes. I don't know why I married you. I should have listened to what my mother said.
What did she say?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
How pathetic you are. Our marriage is becoming a farce. You never, ever liked me as a person. All you ever wanted was my body. Hmm? Well, you can't have it. I've buried it.
Over there, daughter. And unthinkably hideous. Oh, what a ghastly prospect.
Ah, you've noticed me at last. Oh, thank you. Oh, you're old. You're older than you look. Ah, Mumsy. Dadsy. Cinders.
Why do you keep kicking his hand like that?
Any more of your lip and you'll find it difficult to eat. Where's my other daughter, Gardenia?
Hello, everybody. Here I am. I'm sorry I'm late, but I've been putting my face on and I ran out of clumps. Never mind. I've now had an invigorating bath and now I feel like a new man.
Oh, but Gardenia, you're a girl.
Oh, so it was a loofah then. No,
no, no. Carry on.
No, I certainly shall. No, but with a loofah.
No, I long to be held in the arms of a tall, handsome brute. A dashing prince. Even just a walking one would do.
He'd be dashing as soon as he caught sight of you.
It would be my heart's delight if one of you were to marry one of the rich princes of this country. That lovely Prince Charming. He's all a girl could possibly want. Small, stupid, hunchback, and incredibly rich.
Ah, come on, he wouldn't look twice at those two hideous, colossal old bags.
I could always wear a bra.
A bra! A bra! A bra! You need two teams of pallbearers. Look at Gardini. Look at Gardini with that ugly mole on her chin. And rather a plain hedgehog on her shoulder.
I'm sure Prince Charming would sweep them off their feet.
Oh, yeah, he'd have to be driving a forklift truck. I'm a devil when I'm not giving a good talk.
I wish my family wasn't so horrible. All I want in the world is to settle down with a handsome man with lots of money. It's not too much to ask, is it? Just a nice, charming man with a perfectly ordinary job in market research, a perfectly ordinary Jaguar SJ12, and a perfectly ordinary nice big house in Orpington.
Hello. I'm a very high-up man from the BBC, and I think it's important that we make an official statement of policy. No, I'm sorry. We have to be aware of our responsibilities. The fact that Cinderella is portrayed as wishing to marry and settle down is not indicative of the BBC's attitude to women in general. We appreciate that there are, in this age of equal opportunities, many very challenging and exciting careers for women. Maybe not on the BBC particularly, but they do. We would also like to point out that there is no intention to criticise or ridicule the people of Orpington by singling out their town in this context. Orpington was chosen completely at random from a list of 280 nasty, boring little commuter towns. All right, carry on with the pantomime.
Try and make it a bit funnier, would you?
But, Cinderella, you're just a stupid little servant girl. Nobody's going to want to marry you.
If the prince walked in here now, he wouldn't notice you. He'd be too overwhelmed by my beauty.
I'm far more radiant than you are. Everything's false with you. Oh, it is. False eyelashes, false nose, false teeth.
False teeth? I said that. Oh, well, have you know these teeth are perfectly real and genuine. They are. They came from a baboon's skull. Dug up in flutter.
You're so thin, Gardenia. You wouldn't show up on an x-ray. You're all skin and bones.
You're worse. You're skin and bones and fat and gristle.
Oh,
muscle tissue.
Oh,
glands.
Oh,
nerve cells and bloody hair. And mucous membranes. Eat your heart out, Jonathan Miller. Another thing. Two other things.
Two other things.
What? Goodness knows what you stuffed down your dress to make your chest that gruesome lumpy shape.
How dare you? How dare you insult my majestic bust?
Your majestic bust?
Yes, if I want to stuff a small marble carving of Queen Victoria down my dress. That is my business.
You're nothing but a fetid leather sock full of camel tripe.
And you're a spiteful silage mouth for coffee nostril pile of apple and puffin dropping crumble with a 13th century coffee ripple.
Incidentally, the guppy rissole is the subject of tonight's World About Us program, in which Dr. Karl-Heinz Grossfeldt examines the strange private lives and Tupperware parties of these elusive people. That's World About Us on BBC One tonight at 9:25, when most of you will probably be out.
And you're 45 cubic feet of albino whale blubber simmered for 15 years and served on a multi-story compost heap.
And you're all that a billion times over with a face like a maggot incubator.
Oh, girls, let's not be personal. Look, there's a long line of men standing in single file in front of that music stand.
What? A long line of men standing in single file in front of a music stand? Ah, that sounds like a cue for a song.
Six birds,
and me, and you,
and me,
and you,
and me,
and you,
and me,
and you,
and me,
and you,
and me,
and you,
the two of us and three of us.
Just the two of us together.
Two of Senior and Gardenia and Villardi.
Two is company.
What's wrong with a crowd?
Two is company.
Hey, would three be allowed?
We cannot sing the story.
If anybody can, then we can.
We can't have three of them.
If Chekhov can, the BBC can.
Chekhov?
Same to you, mate.
One, two, three, four. The contract has come, and we two of mine. And posted it back. We
hope you don't mind. We're three of a kind.
And we're two of a kind.
And we're
not. We've got two ears amusing.
But three, much more funny.
Three would be confusing.
All right, I'll do it for no money.
We're very sorry, really, but there's something you should know. What's that? There's three of us and just two parts of us. One's got to go.
I'm more talented than you.
Oh,
yes, I am. And I'm a better singer, too. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, no, you're not.
All right. And I'm uglier than you.
Oh, no, you're... Six foot.
Very well, sister dear, I will do what you say. Work for you all night long, slave every day. Clean the house, wash the clothes, carry coal from the cellar. I suppose it was worth a try.
Many centuries ago, when the world was yet young and Sheffield Wednesday were top of the league, Saxmania was a rich and prosperous land. Foreign merchants would travel hundreds of thousands of miles to do business there and fiddle their travel expenses. The Saxmaniacs were a peaceful nation. But their soldiers were no strangers to war and could recognize one a mile off. It was a land of plenty. And then one day the sun set on what had been a great empire. But the Saxmaniacs weren't too worried about that because it happened every evening. And so their problems worsened as the years went by until the present day. Saxmania, threatened on all sides by hostile nations, bankrupt beyond the dreams of Dennis Healey, economically crippled, it suffers the hiccuping reign of King Basil the Newt-like and his liberal Prime Minister, Lord Pardo of Delabo.
The bank is in the palace and the king is in the palace.
Prime Minister of Fairy Storyland. I'll tell you all the fairy story policies I planned, like getting the economy to prosper and expand. With happiness compulsory and statutory mirth, we'll be the nicest nation on the fairy story earth. Trade unions will never ask for more than they are worth. Liberal Prime Minister of Fairy Storyland, I'll talk in special riddles that a child could understand, and greediness, intolerance, and bonds will all be banned. We'll all be legal, decent, honest, truthful, fair, and square, and biased, well informed, and ecologically aware. We'll live in castle flats and castles in the air.
high tide to stand for King Basil the Newt-like of Saxmania.
Long live the king!
Order! Order!
Point of ordinary for me, Prime Minister.
I really must call you all to order. This is the House of Commons. Now, what was the question being discussed?
Whose round is it?
I believe it's the turn of the Minister of Defence.
Well, you'll be lucky if you get a half a pint of shandy out of him.
Don't you think we ought to get on with the business of making the whole place a better place to live in?
You realise that you're our fairy tale Liberal Prime Minister on the grounds that you only get Liberal Prime Ministers in fairy tales?
Well, be that as it may, we cannot go on ignoring this message from the Belenesian ambassador.
Oh, what does it say?
It says, the Belenesians have got 10,000 troops surrounding Saxmania in battle readiness.
Good Lord.
Either we surrender peacefully, or in 7 days' time they will take us by storm.
Did we ever decide whose round it was?
Look, we're about to be overrun by thousands of Belenesians.
Good Lord.
Who are the fiercest warriors in the whole universe.
What does the Minister of Defence say about this?
Well, he's off sick. He suffers from a nervous complaint which causes him to wave white flags and become a naturalised Belenesian citizen.
How are we all for weapons?
We've 9 arrows and a siege engine.
Nothing stronger.
Only Bilstein diabetic lager.
All right. That'll have to do. 12 pints of Bilstein, Mavis.
Certainly, Your Majesty, in strike glasses.
No, in a bucket, please.
May I get back to the war with Belenesia, gentlemen?
Certainly, Pardo. Toodly pip. Best of luck, old chap. Love the song. 3 cheers for Pardo. You'll go down in history as the man who single-handedly was killed by 10,000 enemy soldiers.
As a spokesman for the BBC... Oh, thank you. As a spokesman for the BBC, I think it appropriate to point out at this juncture that Mr. Pardo, a Liberal MP, is acting the part of the Prime Minister for comic effect only, and is certainly not to be taken seriously in this role. The lines he speaks are written by 2 scriptwriters who are strictly neutral, politically speaking, and probably couldn't even tell you who the Home Secretary is, as they only ever read The Sun. And have never even reached page 4. The BBC certainly do not wish to use this pantomime as a vehicle for political propaganda. Such lines as may crop up, like down with this tyrannical socialist dictatorship and rats to the unacceptable face of the Tory party and vote for Pardo and so forth, are only put into the script for purposes of diversion and entertainment, and in no way represent the political leanings of the party, the corporation. All right, carry on with the jokes.
Look out, here comes trouble.
I am the messenger from the Belenesian army.
Gordon Bennett, a talking horse.
No, sorry, it's Bilotti with a round of applause.
Yes, all right.
Well, somebody rings around in.
No, I bring news of the invasion. The King of Belenesia says if you don't go to war against him, you're all a load of wits and no fun anymore. He won't show you his new bit of string. Bit of a strange king, but he's very violent when he's riled, so just watch it, that's all.
We must act quickly.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether she's nobly in the mic.
Amen to this. Go away, you've just had a part.
A part? You call that a part? A flaming talking horse, a part? You call that a part?
Well, just go and make yourself useful, will you? Go and summon Prince Charming. He'll know what to do.
All right. I'll be back. Prince Charming! Prince Charming! Prince Charming!
It's all right already, I'm here.
Oh, good. Listen, we just had this message from the Belenesian ambassador. It says, aggression, punch, bang, ugh, hostile, and kapow.
That's starting talk.
Either we surrender, or we go to war with them. In either eventuality, they will invade in 6 days' time.
Right, let's sell up.
Sell up?
Yes, sell the country to someone else, so when Belenesia invade, it's no longer our problem. Hang about.
Prince Charming!
Hello, Manny. Prince Charming here.
Prince Charming, my life. Shalom. Those tricks already.
Still having trouble with the disappearing pigeon.
Yes.
How are things in Moshe Oshmoteland?
That's fine. How are things with you, by the way?
Well, you know how it is. Charming. You have good days, bad days.
Prince Charming!
Not too bad days, not too good days. Days which are on the bad side of medium. Days on the good side of medium. Very good days, very bad days. Days on which nothing goes right. Days on which nothing goes wrong. Days on which 9 out of 27 things go right. Days on which 3 out of 14 things go wrong. But that's not to say the remaining 11 go necessarily right. And then you have days when some of the things have gone right. Will you shut up? I'm here!
Yes. Oh, Mr. Prado, Mr. Prime Minister, sir, I've found him, sir.
Well, go and look for something else, then.
What?
Oh, anything. Try the Lost City of Atlantis.
What? No?
Yes, we're busy.
No.
All right, right.
Lost City of Atlantis!
Oh, dear. We'll have to increase his tablets. Look, Manning. Or something. Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm calling up on business. I'm selling.
You're selling?
Yes, it's like buying, only seen from the back.
What are you selling? Not clothes, I hope. I'm up to my neck in clothes.
No, listen. I've got a whole country going cheap.
A whole country going cheap?
Yes.
There's got to be a joke in there somewhere.
I can't think of one, can you?
No, let's try and carry on.
Okay, let's try. All right. You've got a whole country going cheap? How cheap?
Name a price.
Vincent.
Vincent Price, done.
I knew there was a joke in there somewhere. If only we could find it. Right, right. I'll tell you what, Prince Charming. I'll send round straight away to pick it up. Shalom alaikum.
Alaikum shalom.
I like him too.
Right, there you are. When Belanesia invade, they'll march into a 100,000 square mile hole. Probably won't notice the difference.
Speaking as a liberal, I must object to this.
Well?
That's all right, I've done it now.
Good.
But I don't like it. Where's your brother, Prince Disgusting? I'm sure he'll have a thing or two to say about this.
Oh, God, not Pardo. Why don't you slag off, you great Cornish clinker?
Your Highness.
Oh, Lord, I had one of the terminal flatulence of the day down the dog tracks.
How did you get on?
Well, I would have had a great win, only come in the last furlong, this stupid black and white bit stuck a paw out and tripped me. I come second.
If I may say so, I find your habits unbecoming for a prince regent. My life already, Gavult, Vesmir, and two portions of chopped liver to go.
Oh, listen to him. You're pathetic, you are, talking in that stupid Jewish accent.
Well, I am Jewish.
I'm your brother. I'm not Jewish. Your mother and father aren't Jewish. There's never been the slightest trace of Jewish blood in our ancestry.
That's right. Persecute me, deride me, because I'm in a minority.
You couldn't become a junkie or a poofter like any normal adolescent. You had to become one of these 12 chosen tribes. It's pathetic.
Well, you can't brag. You're filthy, revolting, and you spend far too much of your time gambling.
You spend more time gambling than I do.
Bet I don't.
Bet you do.
How much?
£8 million.
Right, I spend 3 hours a week gambling.
Oh, I spend 8 hours a day gambling.
That's £8 million you owe me.
I bet you £8 million. You won't accept the £8 million I'm about to give you.
Right, you're on.
I'll write you a cheque.
I don't take cheques.
Right, that's £8 million you owe me.
Right, let's call it quits.
All right, that's £8 million you owe me.
Just because I wouldn't take a cheque, you're a credit liability. You are. You're the only person I know whose luncheon vouchers bounce.
No. You listen here, mate. I've decided to invest my capital live. I've started buying up property.
What, houses?
No, I just put down £45 billion for this country that just come on the market.
Oi, Gavooks, that's our country, Saxmania. It's under threat of war.
Pardo.
Huh?
Do you want to buy a country? It's very cheap. Fell off the back of a lorry.
No, we must avoid this war. Belanesia must be stopped.
Hang about. Not the Belanesia.
Yes.
As in Princess Sally of Belanesia.
Yes.
Oh, I wouldn't mind being overrun by her. When did this war start? I want to be the first prisoner of war.
Women are just sex objects to you, aren't they?
What are?
Women.
Oh, that's a technical term for those soft, pink, lumpy things, is it?
Listen, I've had a brainwave. We'll have a ball to celebrate some great event or other, like a liberal retaining his deposit.
Deposit?
Or even like a liberal retaining his deposit, and invite Princess Sally. In the romantic atmosphere, Prince Charming will propose to her and so end the hostilities between Saxmania and Belanesia. Brilliant!
So, you want me to marry Princess Sally? Hmm. Can I sleep on it?
That's the whole idea.
Here, wait a minute. I want her.
It's our only hope. And not a shot fired in anger.
Yeah, what about me? I want Princess Sally.
We're saved. We're saved. I'll have the invitations printed. We're not going to die. God save the king and Prince Charming. Hooray! Hooray! Vote for Pardo!
Hear this! Hear this!
No!
Hear this! Hear this!
Yes,
hear this! His Royal Highness King Basil of Saxmania! He's to hold a grand ball for royalty, diplomats, aristocrats, noblemen, generally anyone of note in the country and neighbouring ones! Except, of course, for me! Oh, no, he didn't invite me! I mean, who's the only one not invited to the ball? Me! That's who's not invited! Me and his dirty scullery mate! And why not invite me? Because I can be the life and soul of a party, I can! Witty conversation, charm, throat pastels! I can hand jive! Oh, yes, I can hand... And I've got a bell! Oh, yes, I got a bell! Listen to my bell! I got the biggest bell in the world! Down with the monarchy! Support the revolution! Workers unite! I got a bell! I got a... Hear it! Hear it! Don't cry, please! No, I got a bell! We've all got invited to the party! Hear this! Don't cry! Hear this! Hear this! Hear this! Hear this!
And so it is that with 4 days to go before the invasion, the Sax maniacs prepare for the grand ball. Timothenia and Gardenia discuss what they should wear.
And a corrugated zinc corset and drainpipe brassiers.
You slimy, fat old walrus. Oh. You'll be lucky to get inside the palace ballroom, let alone that evening dress.
Nickels to you.
Thank you. Could you pass my suspenders as well?
Prince Charming will swoon when he sees me in my snakeskin leotard.
He wouldn't look twice at you. Oh. Not unless he thought the first time was a hallucination.
Watch your gob, you sweaty old cow. Oh, you're the only person I know who can lift up a see-through blouse.
Cinderella, go and fetch me that old piece of wood I bang my lips with to keep them red.
Oh, your lipstick. And get me a pick for my teeth.
And a shovel for the rest of her
face. Are you idle strumpet? I must make up my face. Go and get some cold cream.
Better still, some warm custard.
Oh.
Oh, Cinderella, help me on with my shoes. Oh, you stupid slut. You put them on the wrong feet.
Whose feet did I put them on, then?
Mine.
What on earth are you doing here?
And so, Timothenia and Gardenia at last went off to the ball, leaving Cinderella alone in the house with Bilotti.
Good.
Oh, Bill, I'm so unhappy that I can't go to the ball.
Oh, don't worry, Cinders. I'll stay here and keep you entertained. Hey. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do my little animal noises for you, eh? So great these are. Now, what's this? Quack, quack.
Two national health doctors.
No. No, that was a duck, you fool. Now, what's this one? Quack, quack.
Another duck.
No, no, that's a leopard. Doing an impression of a duck.
Good,
Bill.
Oh, come on, call me Buttons.
Oh, Buttons, everything's gone wrong for me tonight. Everyone treats me like dirt. I'm not going to the ball, and now you've turned up to irritate me.
Cinderella. Oh, thank you. Cinderella, can't we run off and get married?
Are you making a pass at me?
But Cinderella, I love you.
Don't say it.
Oh, I never could marry you, Buttons. I'm sorry I can't be your bride. If only you weren't such a straight-laced romantic, I might have suggested a bit on the side. Despite your good intentions, you're a bit of a berk. This isn't upstairs, downstairs, and it's not going to work. Just one more wistful sigh from you and I'll go berserk. Oh, Buttons, you give me the pip. You say that you'd be happy just to be my best friend, but selfless adoration drives me right round the bend. Why couldn't you invite me for a dirty weekend? Dear Buttons, you're rather a drip. Oh, I never could marry you, Buttons. I'm sorry, but that's how it is. it goes. Partly because I'm in love with another, but mainly because you get right up my nose. I know impressing singers is your favorite dream, so you polish up your buttons till they sparkle and gleam. If you polish them once more today, I'll probably scream. Go buttons and foil your fat head. You're such a cheerful Charlie and you're such a busy bee. You're also very sweet, but fills the saccharine in my tea. Your servile spine is tedious, bland, and undersized and twee. Oh, buttons, why don't you drop dead? Oh, I never could marry you, buttons. I'm sorry it never could be. My father's a baron, we're all rather pucker, and you are appallingly common. You see.
Well, that's got rid of him. Oh, I do wish I could have gone to the ball. My sisters are so mean and cruel, locking me up in the house all day. Sometimes I feel like a caged animal, but they won't let me have one. Oh, I wish I could go to the ball and meet Mr. Wright. Or even Mr. All Right, I suppose. Or even Mr. Not Quite All Right, but I'll give you a good time, dearie. I wonder what that can be.
Special delivery for youngest daughter of Baron Ogby.
Oh, thank you. Heavens! Someone sent me a parcel. Gosh, it's a tape recorder. I'll see if there's anything on it.
All right, now, shut up and listen. Sorry I couldn't be here myself, but I'm a very busy man, and you're lucky to get this much. Any questions so far? No? Good, right. Name?
Me?
Could you be a little more specific?
Oh, my name is Cinderella.
Is it? Well, 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 I'm embarrassing. Ah, well, I know how you feel being saddled with a terrible moniker. Mind if I call you Vespasian?
But that's not my name.
I know, it's mine. I'm trying to get rid of it. I'll tell you what, for present purposes, I'll call you Miss Susan Smith. Dull but uncontroversial.
Miss Susan Smith? But it's so obvious, it sounds like a pseudonym.
It may sound like a pseudonym, but written down, it's a rare and exotic name. You see, I've decided to spell Smith with a K. S-M-I-T-H-K. Silent K, of course, like the one in Minestrone. And like the one in King Arthur and the Kernites of the Round Tablet.
Forgive me asking, but who are you?
What? You mean you don't know who I am? How old are you?
21.
21 and you don't know who I am? I knew who I was when I was 4. I'm sorry, but if you don't know, you'll have to guess. Who do I sound like?
You sound like the man who does those awful commercials for the post office.
Now, listen here, sunshine. I didn't have to come here, you know. Now, listen here, sunshine. I didn't have to come here, you know.
You didn't.
Exactly. Look, here's a clue. Hands that do dishes stay soft as your face with mild green dum-dum liquid.
Ah, yes, I know. You're a loony.
Yes, yes. Warmer, warmer.
A loony on heat.
It's obvious, isn't it, you teeny-bopping little moronette? I am your fairy god-person, and I've come to help you get to the ball. So let's get on with it, shall we? You want to go to the ball, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes or no?
Fine, now you're talking language I can understand. For a start, now get to the ball dressed in filthy old rags. What are you wearing?
Filthy old rags.
Well, that's it, then. You can't go to the ball. Tough luck, you scruffy booby. You can't win them all. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to be on your side, aren't I? Oh, well, let's see here. We better get you a new set of clothes.
Can't you magic me some?
Well, let's get it straight, shall we? I am, when all is said and done, a hired lackey for a Jap hi-fi firm and only a fairy god-person in my spare time, and therefore not particularly magic. On the other hand, if I was there in person and had my equipment with me, I could show you some of the tricks I do.
Such as?
Well, if I had my black box, my all-black, six-sided, totally airtight box, I could do my famous suffocated rabbit trick.
Oh, you're useless. All I want is a pretty dress for the ball.
Oh, so you're going to the ball now, are you? And what do you expect me to do? Sit home here on my own while everyone's out enjoying themselves? I want to go to the ball as well. Please, can I go to the ball? I want to wear pretty dresses and glass slippers like Graham Chapman.
But you're only a tape recorder.
Oh, spit. All right, I'll find you a pretty dress. Now, you can't go to the ball on foot, so we'll have to make you some kind of carriage. Let's think. I know, fetch me a pumpkin.
Yes, I've got one here.
Fortuitous. Right, now, how big is it?
Well, it's sort of a pumpkin size, about a foot long and a foot high.
Well, that's no good, is it? We want to make a carriage out of it. It must be up here. Sure. No, we're going to need a pumpkin that's, 20 foot by 25, preferably made out of gold, inlaid mahogany, preferably with wheels and a bit of gold leaf, but I won't quibble over these.
Where will I get a pumpkin like that?
You won't. Well, I better order you a cab instead. Now, horses and livery footman, let me see. Tell you what, have you got any mice or rats in the house?
Yes, shall I round them up for you?
If you would, please, yes, yes.
Here, little mice and rats. All right, I've got them for you.
Good, now put down the poison. I don't know how you can bear to live in. Right, magic time.
You mean you can do some magic after all?
Well, after us all, how do you like this?
Thank you, fairy godperson.
And so, after a few tedious bits of magic, Cinderella, wearing a pretty party dress and glass slippers, goes off to the ball in a large golden vegetable drawn by a liveried footman and a dead rat. At the magnificent porticoed entrance, the Lord Chamberlain announces the arrival of the guests, whilst operating the turnstile with his foot and tearing the tickets.
The Mayor Roger of utter contempt, and his court jester, the High Roger. Of utter contempt. His Excellency, the Ambassador of the United States of America, and Mrs. Doodle Dandy, Mr. and Mrs. Wall Carpeting, and their son, Walter Wall Carpeting. Not to mention Mr. and Mrs. Tittybelt, and their virgin son, Chaz Tittybelt. Mr. and Mrs. Calcutta, and their negroid Swedish grandson, Black Olaf Calcutta. And surely, no ball is complete without the presence of Mr. and Mrs. Champions and their diminutive footballing son, Wee Arthur Champion. His Excellency, the Balinesian Ambassador, and his wife.
Welcome, Duke, Duchess. Ah, Archbishop, so glad you could make it. Put it over there, will you? I'll blow her up later.
Her Majesty, the daughter of the King, God, Emperor of the neighboring kingdom, Heaven, Empire of Balinesia, the Crown Prince Sally.
Ah, there you are, charming. Go and dance with Princess Sally, and mind you get her to marry you before the evening's out. I'd marry her myself, only I'm just too old and tired. These days, I can't keep awake for a second. Sometimes I can't even keep awake for a first. You're even ahead of me. Go on, chatter up.
Hello, Princess Sally.
Hello.
I'm Prince Charming.
Charmed, I'm sure. Do you live here?
Yes, yes. Do you like it?
It's nice here, isn't it?
The artwork on the north wall is, in fact, an original Michelangelo. Now, the entire plaster service having been imported from Italy, carefully put in position by master craftsmen and restored by a team of leading saxomaniac artists working day and night for 12 years. Rather impressive, isn't it?
Yes, I like pink. Are you royalty too, then?
Yes, I'm the heir apparent, actually. One day I'll be king. Well, I'll say one day, it'll probably be king for a bit longer than that, with a bit of luck.
It's boring being royal, isn't it? Still, I sit and dream sometimes that someone will take me away from all this.
Well, actually, Sally, I don't know how to say this, but I've wanted to marry you from the moment my father said he'd kill me if I didn't. Oh, there you are. Yes. Let me be your Prince Charming. Marry me and make me the happiest person called Prince Charming standing next to you right now.
No, no. It would never work. I could never marry a Gentile. I'm Jewish, you see.
You're Jewish as well?
As well as what?
As well as can be expected, I thought. As well as me. I'm Jewish, too.
Oh, you're just saying that because you know I wouldn't marry outside the faith. You're not Jewish at all.
Yes, I am. I'm Jewish, too. But for you, three. Yes. Three. Yes, I am Jewish and I can prove it. I'll show you. Hang on while I get it out. There you are. That's Jewish enough, isn't it?
Oh, come on, that doesn't prove anything, that. Anyone can buy a skull cap.
Oh, God, the cabin mother doesn't know I'm here. Don't make excuses. If you don't want to marry me, just say so.
I don't want to marry you.
If you think I'm a no-good pathetic runt, just say so.
Oh, excuse me. Got my skull cap caught in my zip.
You are. Good Lord. A red card. Are you, the first on radio. Are you two getting on all right?
You're a no-good, pathetic runt.
Yes, excuse me, standing on my skull cap. Nurse! Me and Princess Sally.
Posting again, eh?
Yes, Princess Sally and I are getting along famously.
Famously?
You've heard of David and Goliath.
Yes.
They're famous.
Yes.
So Sally and I are getting on like David and Goliath.
They're getting stoned.
Don't mind if I join you. Come over here. Here.
Here. You can't get on and marry Princess Sally. Prince Disgusting will have to do instead.
But I can't marry him. He's my brother.
No.
Pop. What a fantastic party.
Oh, look, there's the king and his two sons.
Hello.
Baron, dear, remember me. Isn't it too wonderful here?
Yes, dear, very impressive. Waiter, pour glasses of champagne.
Certainly, sir. That'll be £1.60, sir.
But my wife said I wouldn't have to pay anything.
That's very kind of her, sir. £1.60, madam.
Eat my shorts, you honky white trash. Well, that's got rid of him.
Eat my shorts, you honky white trash.
Yes, it's a term of abuse I picked up in New York.
American expression. It says more about you than cash ever can.
Come on, Princess Sally, have a glass of champagne.
No, I couldn't. The bubbles get right up my nose.
People who make that sort of remark get right up my nose. Please now, you mealy-mouthed, pusillanimous, hair-brained little idiots make me want to throw... Here, don't get away! I haven't told you about my job in the diplomatic corps yet.
Oh, this is awful. Oh, I'm not used to being a wallflower.
Oh, it is awful. Yes, it's not being left out of the dancing, I mind. It's being put in a damp pot and watered.
Look ahead, back for the announcement of a new guest. An incredibly good-looking young lady dressed in such a stunning way that not even her father, stepmother, or two ugly stepsisters who are all at the ball would recognize her.
What an incredibly good-looking woman you are. My name is Prince Disgusting. Now I have the pleasure...
Gosh, imagine me dancing with a prince.
Yeah, I suppose we could dance first.
Ah, Disgusting. Pray introduce me to this beautiful young lady before you go.
This is a mysterious but beautiful young lady, and...
Must be Prince Charming. Oh, Prince Charming, I must say I'm flattered that both you and your brother wish to dance with me, but I am rather embarrassed.
Yes, I agree. You must look pretty stupid. Dizzy, one of us will have to drop out.
Oh, I suppose so.
Ah, yes, it's much more comfortable with just the two of us.
I still prefer it when we have the girl along. I can't stick these dancers anyway. I think it's time to get this place moving about a bit. Mr. Bandmaster, please.
I've got every social vice. I don't use antiperspirant because it smells too nice. I don't believe in washing or talcum or cologne. And I never change my socks until they stand up on their own. I've got filthy table manners. My nails are full of dirt.
I eat with my mouth open, so food is down my shirt. I'm always eating curry and breathing on my friends. And when I'm drinking gassy beer, the gas comes out my face. Nasty diseases of the skin, like acne, scurf and herpes and verrucas on the chin. I never used a hanky, enough to make you sick. I got choice of nostrils, I like to take my pick.
I think it might be broken.
Really? Look, put this handy plaster cast on it.
Oh, thanks. Good heavens, is that the time?
Fast.
Oh, but it must be nearly midnight.
Good Lord, you're right. Come, we must get our dress suits back to Moss Boss before they get us for an extra day's hire. Come on, everybody!
Where is everybody? I was just powdering my nose for a moment, and when I came out the bog, everyone had gone.
There's only you and me left here, Princess Sally.
Hello.
And Bill Oddie.
Oh, dear. What should we do about this, Pardo?
Well, it's a long time since anyone's asked me my opinion on anything.
True.
But if I may make a suggestion, sir.
Oh, no.
Why not vote Pardo and adopt Bill Oddie as your third son, marry him off to Princess Sally, thus voting Pardo and averting the war with Belenicia, and leaving Prince Charming free to vote Pardo and take the plaster cast and cut the length and breadth of the kingdom, and vote Pardo, and whomsoever the plaster cast shall fit, he shall marry.
Oh, God, it's not one of these ugly old bents, is it? Look, Charming, it's not going to fit either of them, is it?
How dare you! You know what they say. Big feet means warm heart and lively mind.
Oh, come on, who says that?
Failed anatomy students.
And I'm not trying on her feet. She obviously hasn't changed her socks for 10 years.
Oh, yes, I have. I've put them on different feet every week.
Well, they smell like peat bogs.
They used to call me Twinkle Toes.
Must have been the glow of the marsh gas. Right. Are there any more women in the house?
Of course, you're forgetting me, the sumptuous Prince's Delight and wicked stepmother, mother of those sexy bundles Gardenia and Timothenia, wife of this gibbering idiot Baron Oldbeef.
Yeah, I'll repeat the question. Are there any more women in the house?
There's no point in you trying it on, my dear. You couldn't marry Prince Charming even if it fits, because you're already married to me.
Am I? Oh! Right, now let me try it.
All right, you just cop hold of one end of this plastered cast. Oh, sorry. You think I'm kidding? All right, the plaster cast, there we are. It doesn't fit.
Of course it doesn't, not yet anyway. My foot is not injured, so a plaster won't fit. Wait, I'll injure my foot. I'll drop the piano on it from a great height.
Cinderella to fracture it for me. Cinderella, oh, what a giveaway.
Aha, so there is somebody else.
Who's this Cinderella bird, then?
She's nobody. She's just a scullery maid.
Oh, I fancy a bit of rough.
If that's the way you want it, you can try her. But I'm warning you that I shall never forget this day as long as I live. And when I die, I shall haunt you all and all your offspring. And I hereby curse you with the curse of the Mad Witch of Monthly Consumer Magazines. Every second male offspring of your lineage will be born male.
She's a weirdo, isn't she? You fancy shagging up with me?
Oh, yes, please. And I promise I'll be a good girl from now on and be nice to everybody, especially Cinderella. And I'll always smile and be very generous with my money and lead a good, honest and proper life.
Oh, hell, I've gone right off you now.
Did I hear my name being mentioned?
That's her. That's the one. How beautiful.
It's you.
Oh, you're so beautiful. I felt you the first moment our eyes met. That smile, those lips, those teeth, those gums, that saliva, that dangly bit at the back of your throat.
You took the words out of my mouth.
Among other things, yes. I love you, Cinderella.
I love you, Charming.
What a happy moment. And so it was that a marriage was arranged, and the king himself came to visit Ogbeef House, thinking there might be a few drinks going free.
King Basil of Saxmania!
God save the king!
Well, Cinderella, sounds like wedding bells.
Oh, come on, sire. It was a bugle.
Little girl. Well, Pardo, let's get this plot finished off, shall we?
Well, I think we've more or less done it, sir. We've averted the war, married off Cinderella to Prince Charming. That was pretty predictable, really, I suppose.
It was a pity.
Nothing further remains but to get on with the business of living happily ever after.
All right. I hereby issue a royal proclamation to the effect that A, everyone will now be happy by order, and B, to facilitate point A, the last one down to the pub is a city.
And so everyone in fairy tale land rejoiced and was merry, and life was full of joy and laughter and... Excuse me. Hello?
Hello, look, fairy god person here. Sorry I couldn't be with you, but I got a bit tied up with a previous engagement and two previous marriages. I'm awfully bad at close personal relationships, you see. They make me all cross and it shows in my work. So, anyway, did it all turn out well in the end?
Oh, yes, everyone's living happily ever after.
Are they? Yes, I see. Well. Yes.
Is anything wrong?
No, that's fine. Absolutely fine. No, so long as everybody's enjoying themselves, good. No, don't let me be the one to cast a blight over everything. I mean, but is everyone, in fact, going to the pub after the show?
Thought you were busy.
Well, yes, it was busy and busy, isn't it? I mean, it was busy happy and busy, and I just thought that I could, well... cancel a couple of meetings. Why not? A pop over wouldn't take me a moment. Hey, I could show you all some card tricks. If that would amuse people, be a bit festive, would it? I can be friendly, you know, I really can, especially as it's Christmas. Listen, I've got an old school report here. It says, could be friendlier if you tried, and I am trying. Hello? Hello? Is there anybody there? Can I join in the happy ending bit, please? Please? Oh, spit. I think I'll go down Oxford Street and smash those pesky ladies.
That was Black Cinderella 2 Goes East, a pantomime for radio, starring in alphabetical order Richard Baker as the narrator, Tim Brooke-Taylor as Timofeenia as the King, Rob Buckman as Prince Charming, Peter Cook as Prince Disgusting, John Cleese as the Fairy Godperson, Graham Gardner as Gardenia and Manny, David Hatch as himself, Maggie Henderson as Cinderella, Joe Kendall as the Wicked Stepmother and Princess Sally, Richard Murdoch as Baron Ogbeef, Phil Oddie as himself, Buttons, Town Crier and Talking Horse, and John Pardo MP as John Pardo PM. The music was written by Nigel Hess and Dick Rowley and played by the Rowley Hess Difficult Listening Band. The text are written by Jeremy Brown and the script is written by Rory McGrath and Clive Anderson with the assistance of producers Douglas Adams and John Roy.